All right, I'm going to turn now, if you have a Bible, and I'm sure you do, to the book of Acts, chapter 9, and I've titled the message, Divine Intervention. As I'm reading through, I hope you are enjoying and availing yourselves to the Word of God in this new year that the Lord has given us, because as we come to it, what we see in the Word of God is not only the history of man, but we see the revelation of God and his works put on display in vivid detail, And I would venture to say that God has much in store for you and I as we are just reading through the Bible, And I want to encourage you to, if you have a reading plan or not, there are all kinds of reading plans available, but the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let me say that there are some things you and I need to hear. Amen. Amen. And not just Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, not just from the pastor, not just from the television teacher or event to televangelist. God wants to speak to you. And he does that primarily through his word. Amen. God doesn't speak to you primarily through any evangelist or any television show or any, even your pastor. The primary way God speaks to you, he wants you to hear his voice through the scriptures that he has given us. Amen. And so I want to encourage you that every time we come to the word of God, we are coming to the revelation of God, the revelation of who he is and what he has done is doing in vivid detail. Not to mention the general revelation of God contained in nature, that Psalm 19 says declares the glory of God, that day unto day declares the glory of God, and night unto night utters speech or shows forth knowledge. And so it declares the wonders and the glory of God day by day. Psalm 97, verse 6 says, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. That is a literal, interpretation and understanding, that all the peoples of the earth see the glory of God. Now, they may not know that they're watching the glory of God. Some people discount it and say, oh, it's just science. It's just, no. It is the glory of God revealed in the general revelation of creation. See? And so God put the sun in the sky every day and causes it to warm our days and gives us that which is so beautiful to behold. I don't know about you, but if you've never looked at a sunrise or looked at a sunset in tears, just fill your eyes as you're beholding the glory of God. It's his presence. It's his doing. It's his revelation.
Revelation.
Amen. Just in nature. So Psalm 33. Get some sleep back here. Let me lower this down and see if that'll take care of it. All right. Psalm 33 and 5 says, he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And so the Lord, the Bible says, is good to all. How is the earth filled with his goodness? Because the Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all the works of his hands. God is good to the sinner and to the righteous, to the wicked and the unwicked, to the righteous. He's good to all of us. Psalms 119 and 64 says, the earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. The earth literally is full of the mercy of God as he wakes us every morning, and he provides for all flesh. The Bible says he opens up his hands and provides for the desires of every living thing. So whenever we come to the word of God, we're coming to the revelation of God. And my prayer for us as a church is that that's our experience as we come to the word of God this year. Amen. So as we turn to the book of Acts chapter 9. We'll start in verse 1. The scripture says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were on the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, in verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And so what we see is God now is about to intervene into the life of the church, into the life of Saul, into the life of his people as the church was growing and going about its work. In chapter 6, the apostles were teaching the word of God. They were preaching the word of God, and people were being saved and added to the church. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen, you'll remember, took up with the Sanhedrin and gave them a whole history of the nation of Israel, how God moved through it. And at the end of chapter 8, they stoned Stephen, killed him, and laid their garments at Saul's feet. But while all of that was going on, God was moving elsewhere. God was moving daily in the midst of his people, but he was moving also unbeknownst to them, you see. And so as God did then, so he's doing now. As we go about our daily lives, God is at work in our midst. He's at work in and amongst us, but he's also doing things that we know nothing about, but that will come to our knowledge. And so, seeing, I'm hearing some more feedback.
That's me.
That's coming from. Do this, though. That'll help us. All right. Yeah, that helps. And so we have here a divine intervention or a divine interruption. God having chosen Saul to become the Apostle Paul, he put a stop to what Saul was about to do and changed the course of his life by way of revelation. And so what we see is that everyone the Lord God chooses, he comes to them. Everyone he chooses, he comes to them. Just as he chose Saul, who became Paul, God now comes to him. He comes to him. In the scripture, it says, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. God came to Saul that way, but God came to you and I in various other ways. But make no mistake about it, he came to us. He came to us. And if we had time, we could sit around and talk and have everyone testify about how God brought us to himself, how he came to us and revealed himself to us. All throughout the scripture, we see that God is the great initiator. He's the one who always moves first. Because if God doesn't do anything, we can't, right? And so in Genesis 3:9, when after Adam and Eve had fallen, imagine it. If God had not come to them, they would have continued in their sin.
Right.
And the whole world would have been lost. Because if God did not initiate the plan of redemption, we would all have died without any hope for redemption. But in Genesis 3:9, the scripture says, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? He came to him, just like he came to Saul on the road to Damascus.
Yes,
God is the one who's always coming. And here's the beautiful thing about it, church. He didn't just come to Paul one time. Amen. Paul says, I will come to revelations of the Lord. The Lord kept coming to Paul, you see, and God didn't come to you and I just one time. Amen. The day we got saved. No, he keeps coming. He keeps coming and he keeps coming. And God is coming to you and I just like he was coming to Paul here. Why? Because he's chosen us to be his very own. He came to Adam. He came to Noah. You remember when the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, God said that it grieved his heart that he had even made man. And so he says, I'm going to destroy all flesh. I'm going to wipe out all life on the earth. But in verse verse 8 of chapter 6, it says this, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace. That was God coming to Noah. God coming to Noah. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, now the Lord said to Abraham, God came to Abraham. Why? Because he had chosen him. Everyone God chooses, he comes to them. You see, because he's the great initiator. Genesis again, 26 and 2, the scripture says, then the Lord appeared to Isaac and said to him, do not go down to Egypt, live in the land that I shall tell you. And God is always coming to us, just like he came to Saul, who became Paul. In Genesis 28, Jacob is running from his brother Esau, and he falls to sleep in a strange place. And it says that he had a dream, and in the dream, it says, behold, the Lord stood above this ladder and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to your descendants. So God came to Jacob. All throughout scripture goes on and on and on. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3 and verse 2, you remember the scripture says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him, to who? To Moses, in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. And so God came to Moses. Moses didn't go to God. God came to Moses. He's always Amen. Coming. He's always coming to those Amen. Whom he chooses. Then in Exodus 19, verse 16, the scripture says that Moses, verse 17, that Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. God came down on Mount Sinai, on Mount Horeb. God came down because he brought the people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt, so that he could be their God. And so he came to them. And he's always been coming. And in Acts chapter 9, he's coming for Saul. Why? Because he had chosen Saul. And aren't you glad today that God chose you? That God chose us. That we might be his very own. And he came to us. He came to us. The Lord had chosen Saul, and therefore, we find this out, that everyone that God chooses, he comes to, but also everyone that God comes to, he reveals himself to. He doesn't just come to us for the sake of being present, but he reveals himself to us. He reveals himself to us. Everyone God chooses, he comes to, and everyone he comes to, he reveals himself to. And that's what's happening here. In Acts chapter 9, because it says that suddenly, verse 3, a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And so what do we find in the revelation of God? This is what we find. That Saul fell to the ground. The revelation of God will always humble human flesh. The revelation of God will always humble human flesh. I'm saying this because when God came to Saul, he humbled him. And when God comes to you and I, guess what? Get ready. Get ready. We're going to be humble. We're going to be humble. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So here's Saul riding on his high horse. Why? Because he has authority from the chief priest, from the high priest, to arrest believers. But while he's riding on his high horse, he is brought into the presence of a greater and a better high priest. And because this is the most high priest, the authority that he had from the earthly priest, it didn't matter. It was totally annihilated. And Saul, who was riding on his high horse, was thrown from his horse and brought low and humbled. Jesus said, everything that exalts itself shall be abased, and everything that is abased shall be exalted. And so God would humble Saul that day, for the revelation of God humbles all people. That's why the Bible says that in his presence, at the end of the ages, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. And it may not be voluntary. It doesn't matter whether it's voluntary or not, but your knee's going to bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Because the revelation of God humbles us. And so God hasn't changed. He's coming to and humbling people everywhere, everywhere. And if he didn't, no one would be or could be saved, right? And so Saul and those who were with him fell to the ground. They fell off their horses. And Saul heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me?" And now, here's what's interesting. Because Saul doesn't know who he's talking to. And Saul says, the scripture says in verse 5, and he said, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord?" Now, we understand this. Saul knew of the dead Jesus, right? Saul knew, remember, he stood at the feet. He stood at the people throwing the garments down at his feet when they were stoning Stephen. He knew what Stephen was preaching. He knew what Stephen was teaching about this Jesus who supposedly had raised from the dead. And they didn't want to hear it. Paul knew exactly who the quote-unquote dead Jesus or the fictitious Jesus, as it would come to be, he knew about that Jesus. And incidentally, there are a lot of people walking around today talking about Jesus, but in their minds, they're talking about a dead Jesus. They're talking about a fictitious Jesus. Hey, look here. Make no mistake about it. There are a lot of people who will quote scripture. They'll say a scripture, but they're talking about a dead Jesus, though. They are not talking about the living Jesus. Now, Saul knew about the dead Jesus, but this Jesus that he was coming into contact right here, the Jesus right. that was about to reveal right. himself to him, Saul didn't know anything about him. That's why he said, "Who right. are you, Lord?" And even though Saul was a Pharisee and of the covenant people of Israel, Saul did not know God through Jesus Christ. He knew the law of God, which was insufficient, but he didn't know God. There are a lot of people today, they know the law of God. They can recite scripture to you. They can quote scripture to you. But they still, the Jesus that they know is a dead Jesus. Why? Because they've never met the resurrected Lord. They've never met the resurrected Jesus. That's the difference between a lot of people call themselves Christians today because they say, "Oh, I believe in Jesus." Oh, hold on. Which Jesus do you believe in? Do you believe in the dead Jesus? Because that's not the one I believe in. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, we know even Christ we know no longer after the flesh. He was talking when Paul says, you have been made a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. He says, we don't know you any longer after the flesh. We don't even know Jesus Christ after the flesh any longer. Right? And so, there are people who, and we have to be careful when people call themselves believers in Jesus. I want to know, which Jesus are you talking about? Is it the one that's still in the grave? Because I don't know anything about that Jesus. Hello. No. Now, what's interesting about this is that that to a degree, what's going on with Saul here goes on in the life of a believer. Because there's a degree to which this is true of believers, because though we know God, there are ways in which we do not know God. Right. Let me say that again. Though we know God, there are ways in which we do not know God. Mm-hmm. Like I've said before, in Philippians 4:13, it's a refrigerator scripture. You may have it on your refrigerator. We love to quote it. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You know, and people will quote that scripture and everything until they hit a trial. Until they hit a trial, and that trial is begging, is requiring so much of them, and they're like, "Oh no, get behind me, Satan. This can't be God. I know God ain't it. No. Well, hold on. What happened to, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me?" When we are in the trial, guess who's in the trial with us?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When we're in the fire, guess who's in the fire with us? Well, he is, of course. And so let me share. Someone sent me a text yesterday of a pastor who was crying over the election.
Oh yeah.
And I thought to myself, my. It was dated right after the election, but this was a pastor who was crying about Donald Trump's loss. Yeah. He was crying about abortion. He was praying and questioning God and saying, God, we're pro-life. You're pro-life. What happened? And the people, his people, congregants were praying for him and reaching out their hands. And this man was literally on his knees weeping in the church. And he said, we're for religious liberty. You're for religious liberty. We're for Israel. You're for Israel. He says, God, did you make Mike Pompeo's the Secretary of State, and that's it? It's over? And he was pleading with God, and he said, God, give us a government that's pro-police, pro-military, pro-this. And I'm sitting there watching this. And I thought to myself, wow. So this man is praying, and he's saying to God, God, how could you do things differently than the way I want them? And I thought to myself, See, you are finding out that there's a different Jesus than you thought, the one you thought there was.
Come on now.
No. There's another revelation of who he is. And I thought to myself, the man apparently never read Isaiah 55, 8, and 9, where God says, listen, he says, I'm not like you. God says, I'm not like human flesh. He says, my ways are way higher. He says, as high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways far above your ways. He says, I do not think like you. So when this pastor was saying, God, give us, no, God said, no, I don't think like that. I thought to myself, and here's this pastor being humbled by the revelation of God. He's being humbled. He's on his face. He's on his knees. And we have to say to ourselves, listen, God's going to reveal who he is to us, and that revelation is going to humble us and is going to change us. Right. Amen? He's coming to us with a revelation of who he is, and it's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. It's in the midst of every day that we live our lives. John, the Apostle John, remember the one whom Jesus loved. The one who laid his head on Jesus' chest. Amen. The one amongst the other disciples who were breathed upon by the Lord, and he opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Revelation chapter 1, John is on the Isle of Patmos, exiled to the Isle of Patmos because of the word of God being persecuted. The Bible says he heard a voice speaking, and the scripture says in verse 12, of Revelation 1, that he said, I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength. And John said, oh, hi, Jesus, how you doing? No, that's not what John said. The Bible says, John said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. Here's John the Apostle having a revelation of Jesus, a Jesus he's never seen before. Right. Amen. Jesus comes to John and says, I'm going to show you something you have never seen. And when John saw it, he fell over as a dead man. Listen, Jesus is coming to us in ways we have never seen before. And when he does, it's going to humble us. And when he does, it's gonna totally alter what we think of Jesus. Amen? And we have to be ready for that. That's what was going on in the life of Saul. Listen, there's far more of Jesus than we've ever seen. Come on. There's far more to him. There's far more of him than we could ever fathom. Matter of fact, it's going to take eternity.
Eternity.
Eternity for us to, for the full revelation of who he is, and then it won't be enough. Oh, God.
You got the message.
So he's coming to us like he came to Saul. He's coming to us revealing himself. Amen. And so, where is it? Let me see. Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, mm-hmm, whom you are persecuting. Now watch this. So Saul knew about the dead Jesus, but he didn't know about this one. Wait a second. If you're dead, you don't talk. Hey. And so Saul saying to himself, hold on. Wait a second. You mean the dead Jesus is alive? That's what Jesus let him know. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Amen. And so Christ is telling Saul, a Jew, he knows all about what was taught, but he's been rejecting it. And here Jesus is saying to him, I am Jesus.
Amen.
So through this revelation, Christ is altering, he's altering the destiny, come on, the acts, the purpose of Saul's life. He's altering it.
Amen.
Through the revelation of who he is. And there will be more than one occasion where the Lord tells us again and again who he is. Because just like he came to Saul and had to reveal himself and say, I am Jesus, so as we live this life and go through the circumstances of this life, you know, sometimes God allows things that we say, what on earth is this?
Right.
And we'll be rejecting it until he shows up and says, no, it's me. It's me.
Come on.
Remember in Matthew chapter 14, Jesus told the disciples, get into the boat and go to the other side. And while they were rowing in the midst of the sea, there came up a great storm. And in Matthew 14:24, the scripture says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. Now we've already established that with Saul, that Jesus is coming to Saul. He's coming to change Saul. He's coming to reveal himself to Saul. And Jesus now is walking on the sea. He went to his disciples walking on the sea. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The disciples knew Jesus was a blind man healer.
Right.
They knew Jesus could open deaf ears. They knew Jesus could cure leprosy and all this. But here they're about to see a Jesus that they never seen before, because it says Jesus went to them walking on the sea. He's walking on the sea, church. What do you do with a Jesus who's walking on the sea? Well, it says that when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled.
Right.
Listen, there are ways you will see Jesus that will trouble you. Why? Because you say, oh, I don't know him like that. Well, guess what? You're going to, because he's going to reveal himself to us. Amen? He's going to reveal himself to us in ways we had never seen before. It says they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Here these grown men crying out for fear. Why? Because they're seeing Jesus like they have never seen him before.
You got the message.
Hey, look here. The revelation of God. Listen, I don't have to even say, thus saith the Lord. I'm telling you what's coming down the pike in 2021 for you and I, and 22 and 23 and 24. Christ is going to reveal himself in ways that we have not heretofore come to understand. Verse 27 says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Just like he said to Paul. Paul said, who are you, Lord? He says, I am Jesus. And sometimes we get in life, we get to living and going through things, and we say, oh, no, this can't be God. And Jesus shows up and says, no, it's me. No, it's me. It's me. It's okay. It's going to be all right. You know, hang tight. Keep believing. Keep believing. So what situation have you found yourself in only to hear Jesus say, be not afraid. It is I. Amen. Be not afraid. It is I. He showed up to Peter when Paul was on the ship going to he was going to Rome to testify at Rome. They were in the ship and the ship was going to shipwreck. And the Lord said, be not afraid, Paul. He says, I've got you. He says, you know, the ship's going to be, there's going to be a shipwreck. He says, but you're not going to die. And I've given you everyone on the ship.
Glory to God.
That's what God said to, Paul. But, you know, some Christians would say, oh, no, God's not going to allow our ship to go down. God's not going to allow this ship to wreck. Hold on. Which Jesus you serve? Hello. Come on. Right. Paul, that ship wrecked. That ship capsized. But God said, Paul, I'm going to save your life, and I've given you everyone on the ship.
Praise
Amen.
God. That's right.
So in Luke chapter 24, again, we see in Luke chapter 24, verse 36, the scripture says, now, as they said these things, Jesus himself, this is after Christ was resurrected from the dead. This is when the disciples, two people were walking through the road to Emmaus, and Jesus came and walked alongside of them, and he revealed himself in the breaking of bread. Well, when that happened, they went back to the disciples in Jerusalem and said, look, Jesus showed himself. And while they were telling them what happened, it says that Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. This is Peter, James, John. This is all those disciples. Jesus stood in their midst. Why were they afraid? Why were they terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit? Because they had never seen Jesus this way. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Jesus comes to his people again. He says, it's me. It's okay. Amen. And make no mistake, as we live this life, Christ is going to come to us in ways, and he's going to say to us, be not afraid.
Amen.
It's me.
Amen. It's me. Amen.
So that's what he comes and he says to Saul, whenever God reveals himself, he always reveals his will.
Amen.
Whenever God reveals himself, he doesn't just come and reveal himself and then walk. No, he reveals himself and he reveals his will. We see it with Adam. We see it with Noah. We see it with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. We see it here with Saul. Because Saul says in verse 6, well, the scripture says in verse 6, so he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Right. What do you want me to do?
Right.
And so the revelation of God communicates lordship over our lives. Because Saul said, Lord, capital L-O-R-D.
Amen.
Lord, what do you want me to do? He recognized Jesus Christ as his Lord.
Amen.
And then the question Saul asks presupposes that he will not be doing what he had previously been doing. He said, what do you want me to do? What Saul didn't say was this, because I'm not doing what I came to Damascus to do.
Right.
That's over. That's right. Over. What does that show us? It shows us that the revelation of God stops you in your tracks and causes you, whatever you were doing, that's going to be put on hold because
right.
God's going to reveal to you what he wants you to do.
Right.
The revelation of God always comes with the revelation of his will, what he wants us to give ourselves to.
Amen. Amen.
And so then the Lord said to him, arise, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. God is everywhere present.
Amen.
And he's everywhere revealing himself to his people and to
Amen.
Unbelievers through
yes,
the gospel that they might know and do his will.
Glory to God.
Why? Because 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Praise God.
Bless so as I close, let me share a story. A week ago, I believe it was, I had gone to Walmart to pick up something. And I was picking up some Atkins candies that are supposed to be better for you than regular candy. And I'm in the section looking at which candies I'm gonna buy, and there's this old black guy standing there. And so I kind of walk up a little past him, and I went to reach for some candy. He said, "Well, I'm gonna watch you to see what the good stuff is." And I said, well, the good stuff I like is they're out. You see, it's empty. And so we got to talking. His name was Ed. And Ed, I ain't never met Ed a day in my life, but we sit up there talking like I would be talking to Carl or talking to Moses or Emmanuel or Bill or Quicku. We up in there talking and have a good old time and laughing all loud like we out on the street, you know. And Ed shared with me how he was on the basketball court. Now, he's in his 70s, but he was on the basketball court, and he said he was going down playing, and he just kind of felt, he just didn't feel good. And he knelt down on one knee, and he said that's all he remembers. And the next thing he knows, he wakes up, and there's this guy, like, in his face, and he's like, "Get off me, man. What are you doing? Get off me." And the guy just kept working on him and working on him. And he said again, he said, "Man, what's your problem? Get off of me." Well, what Ed didn't know was that his heart stopped while he was playing basketball. When he went down on one knee, he fell over and his heart literally stopped. But as God would have it, only God does this. You know, the guy who was checking Ed happened to be a nurse at Fairfax County Hospital. And he knew, this nurse knew exactly what was going on with Ed, and immediately launched into CPR because Ed's heart had stopped. Ed literally died right there on the floor. And this guy is going in CPR and keeping his heart going. And he yells to the people at the gym, "Bring the paddles." You know, I forget what they call them, but you know those paddles that they zap you. "Bring the paddles," and the people yelling, "We got them, but we never used them before. We're sold." He said, "Just bring the paddles." And so, you know, this guy, he zaps Ed, and Ed's heart starts again, and then another minute it stops. So Ed died again. And he zaps him again, and his heart comes to, and that's when he's getting up saying, "Man, what are you doing? You're too close to me. What's wrong with you?" And that's when Ed is coming to. He's telling me this whole story. And he says, "I'm gonna let you know, God was there for me in a way." He had never been through anything like that before. And then they take him to Fairfax Hospital. It was close to Fair Oaks, but they took him to Fairfax because it's probably the number one center in our area, if not the nation, for these heart conditions. And so they check him in, and they said, he said, "Well, how much is this going to cost me? You know how it is." And they said, "Oh, probably anywhere from $100,000 to $250,000. And he had just lost his insurance. His Cobra insurance had just expired 3 days before. And he's standing there, and we ain't got time to think about it. So they go in, and there was one, he says, "Pat, when they have to crack your chest." Because I told him, I said, "My wife says I eat too many of these things." Yeah, I said, I probably do. He said, "Listen to your wife." He said, "Listen to your wife. You know you're eating too many of them." I said, "Yeah, I know." I said, "But these are the good ones, Ed. These are the ones supposed to be good for you." He said, "Yeah, but you're probably eating too many of them." I said, "Yeah, well, you know." Anyhow, so he said, "Because they cracked my chest open. I had a quadruple bypass." And when I got out, he said, "The bill came and it was $91,000. He says, "And I don't have a dime." He says, "But I had put in for a discount or whatever." And he said they got a letter. When he got the letter in the mail with the $91,000 bill, he said another letter came with it and said, "We here at Fair Oaks Hospital, we like to help people, and people make donations to us, so forth and so on, so on. So we would like to let you know that the amount of your bill for the operation is zero."
Amen. Zero. Hallelujah.
Zero. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Nothing. So this man was telling me all about, we're over in the candy section, giving praise to God, shouting, giving glory to God, because Ed saw God in a way. He saw God in a way he had never seen him before. And so it was that God intervened. God intervened into his situation. And just the way he intervened in Saul's life and changed the course of his destiny. So God, he doesn't only do it at the beginning of our lives. He continues to do it. He continues to come to us. And so he's coming to you, church. Look out for him every day. Look out for his presence. Look out for his dealings. Look out for his handiwork, because he's coming to us in ways unknown to us. But when he comes, guess what? He's going to make himself known. And you're going to get a greater understanding and a greater revelation of who he is and a greater appreciation of who he is and what he does. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer.
Amen.
Father, we thank you then for your word as it comes to us. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you brought us unto yourself. You came to us that we might know you, but you didn't stop there. Lord, you keep coming, oh God. You keep revealing yourself. Lord, you keep, oh God, unfolding our understanding and causing us to see you in a greater glory and in a greater light, oh God. Father, from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory, oh God. Lord, you're changing us and revealing yourself to us. And Father, we thank you, oh God, Lord, for this great work that is going on in our hearts and in our lives. And we thank you for your faithfulness toward us. Lord, our prayer is that our response, oh God, Lord, would even be that as Saul. Lord, what would you have us to do? Father, that we might give ourselves to your purpose, that we might serve the purpose of God in this our generation. Father, we thank you for your word that comes to us. And Father, we ask your blessing, Lord, over our families, over our marriages, over our homes, over our children, over our loved ones. Father, we pray indeed, Lord, for your grace on our neighbors, Lord, to the left and the right in our communities, oh God, Lord, in our state and region and nation and in the nations of the earth. Father, we pray your kingdom come. Father, we pray your will be done. Father, we pray your glory would be seen, that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord would fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. Oh God, that hearts, oh God, would be laid bare, oh God, that hearts would be aflame, oh God, Lord of your presence and, oh Lord, of your glory, zealous for the good things of God. Father, we pray, oh God, that you would have it your way, oh God, and we humble ourselves beneath your mighty hand. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
All right, all right, all right. Is there anything else that we need to hear before we close this meeting? Anyone? All right.
Good afternoon, church.
Go ahead, brother. Let's hear it.
That's I just wanted to say thank you to each and every one of you for the prayers, the support. The past year has been one of both growth, challenge, renewal, and unexpected. From the virus to everything with the United States Marine Corps, it's all been new. But thanks to the support of everyone back home, the prayers, the messages, the calls, we made it through. I got back in Virginia the day before yesterday, and I was greeted by a different world than I had left. But with all the unfamiliarities, it was nice to see that the love and the camaraderie and the fellowship had not changed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for sharing.
Amen. Good to see you.
We will keep you before the Lord. Amen. Your whole family. Amen. Everyone connected to you. We're going to keep us all in prayer.
Amen.
Yes, amen.